open in our Bibles tonight, and we're going over here into the first epistle of Timothy. So, 1 Timothy, we're going to open up tonight in that. We're entering the home stretch in the in Christ. Isn't that something? And I believe we literally are entering the home stretch of in Christ. And as we conclude this, if the Lord tarry over the next few weeks, we're going to see how this final letter that Paul writes here does really bring the in Christ to a very fitting climax. And tonight, let's go ahead and begin reading right from the first chapter, and we'll begin right there in verse 1. And it says there, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, Paul is writing this to sweet Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So we begin in this precious passage. It says there, my son, praise God, in the faith. The only place that Timothy could be Paul's son is in the faith. Amen? It's the only place it could be. And I thank the Lord that it's right there that we see and understand whose faith that is and where that faith is. It's in Christ, isn't it? See how beautiful that is? See, as he says there, my son, mine own son, in the faith. Well, where that faith is in Christ, so we hit right into an in Christ, that faith. And praise be to God, it is the only dwelling of Paul. It's the only dwelling of Paul's gospel by faith. It's in Christ. Go on over to Romans chapter 16. So many places we could go to rejoice in this truth of this wonderful, wonderful faith that God has given us to have in Paul's gospel, the faith in the mystery of Christ and the church. And this is where it came through, is and says here in Romans 16, verse 25. It says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Isn't that beautiful? See, Paul telling them that, you know, that wonderful Holy Ghost, he's got that power to establish you. And it's wonderful, the power of the Lord to establish you according to, and Paul says it, my gospel. We know that this wasn't something concocted by Paul. This wasn't something that was written by Paul. This was given to Paul by the Spirit. This was that mystery, praise. Well, let's just read on. It'll tell you what that gospel is that was given. According to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by what? The scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And it's just so tremendous that we are encouraged immediately, as if we were standing right there listening to the Spirit through the Apostle Paul. Because remember, with God, there is no consideration of time. It comes and that word is quickened and made alive. And oh, what a purpose it's doing right now. Now, going on in the third verse of chapter 1, back in 1 Timothy. Paul says, there as I besought thee, he's telling Timothy, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So we see how wonderful Paul is making the statement. He said, this is this precious mystery, this gospel that was given unto me. God has caused me to be that, if as the word of God says it, the domestic. He is the housekeeper of this truth that was brought forth. And we thank God that we know that this was brought through the Apostle Paul, also known as the chief of sinner, to show that there is no respecter of person. The less of the least could have this. And Paul was the less of the least. And God touched him with all of that mercy and grace. But see, in verse 3, it tells us to teach no other doctrine. Think of that. Teach no other doctrine. There is no other doctrine to teach. I thank the Lord. This is how exact and precise, and God is coming after us. Brothers and sisters, you can't look to the left or to the right. You need to have your mark set on that prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's no other gospel to preach. There's no other doctrine to preach. And just as Paul is telling Timothy, son, there's no other doctrine. And going on here in verse 4, it says, neither give heed to fables. Those are myths. Endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, and basically do it. So when a saint begins to enter into things apart from the word of Paul's gospel, you know what happens? It brings the ministering of questions. That's exactly what happens, doesn't it? And we all know that, whether it was our own lives. You know, sometimes when we receive such great truth, sometimes we think a little too highly of ourselves, don't we? And then somehow we think that within my own strength or my own being now, and this is just the enemy dealing with us, and God allowing that to happen with our own flesh, we can become vain in our own imaginations, that we think that somehow I'm so special because I understand these revelations. I know that's not you. But I'm going to tell you what happens. You begin to question things. See, when you begin to try to take this in your own strength, let me tell you something. You'll make a mess of it. Amen, you will. And you know this. We all know this. Come on. And that's what's so beautiful about the Word of God. It's true. And it's going to be worked in us, isn't it? To its fullness. Praise the Lord. He's going to show us how this wonderful glory is really going to be manifest in our life. It's not going to be in our strength. It's going to be in weakness. It's going to be completely in that wonderful mercy. That's how you're going to receive it. See, a vessel of mercy receives and is bestowed with the riches of his glory. Amen. Completely undeserved. So time and time again, he has to get us back to the place, doesn't he, saints? Lord, I never even really wanted this. This was you all the time. Come on. Amen. And I think that I'm so mighty in what I know or how I can tell somebody about Jesus or how I can preach. I'll tell you what, in his faithfulness, in his chastening, there's some wonderful feast of humility that's going to come. It's just that way with God. You learn to delight in it. For a moment, it kind of gets you and you think, oh, how could I be? And then it's like, oh, Jesus, you're so good. You're going to always show me, hallelujah, it's your grace. It's your grace, it's your grace, it's your grace, it's your grace. There's not going to be anything else. And you can squirm and you can say whatever you want here, but I'll tell you what, it's those vessels of mercy that are going to win. Now, but see, when we get like that, what happens is you begin to minister questions. And you know what that is? That's debating. Beginning to think that you can bring up certain truths in your own mind. And you know what happens? Instead of sowing things that are edifying to the brethren, you start to sow questions. That's what happens. Just preach the word. Just preach the word. You don't need any smoke or mirrors. You don't at all. Just preach the word. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more pure. There's nothing, praise God, more edifying than preaching Jesus. Yep. And you see, grace has to keep you in it. Because as humans, we always want to think we can add to it. We got to bring in a new twist, or we have to bring in a new way. No. He is the way. We're his vessels. And I thank God it's going to be by the anointing of the Spirit of how it comes forth. But we find it very sadly true, and how quickly it happens when ones get away from the truth and enter into other doctrines. You know one thing that always happens? It never ends well. Never does. Not one time. Matter of fact, departing from the high calling of God in Christ Jesus when you go into other doctrines. But if you truly want godly edifying, and this is what's so beautiful about this word edifying here that you see in verse 4, godly edifying. Did you know that that is the same exact word as the word dispensation? The word dispensation and edifying are the same word there. It was the same word when it said Paul was given that dispensation. Go on over to Ephesians 3:2. I think this will encourage your sweetheart when he talks about godly edifying and what he wants us to fellowship in always in Christ and in faith. In Ephesians 3:2, what does it say there? If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. That's the same word as edifying right back there. Stay in it. God's given us this same grace. He's given us this same mercy. He's given us this same true responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. Amen? To care for this, to keep this. This is a keepsake, treasure. Guard it by the grace of God to stand in defense of the gospel of Christ. But he says here, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you, word. And notice it was all because of the grace of God. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The domestic, the house manager. That's what Paul's saying. God made him that. And this is ours too, as we are the stewards of Paul's gospel. Paul preached it in every church, everywhere he went. Remember how we read that on Sunday? He preached it everywhere. He didn't care where he showed up. He didn't tell somebody telling him, well, you know, these people only receive this or they know that. He said, well, there's no other gospel to preach. I didn't come here to size people up. I came here to preach the word. And I'll tell you one thing. The word never returns void unto him. So I want to just come out here by the grace of God. And I want to preach the whole counsel of God. And by the grace of God, it's up to him to give the increase. But if I don't plant and water Paul's gospel, how is Paul's gospel ever going to come up? It can't. It can't. We're going to get to the 10,000 of ministers here momentarily. You can't leave them alone. You got 10,000s of ministers, preachers of truly what it means, little boys in Christ, little kids. And if you plant that gospel and you water that gospel of the milk, you know what'll happen? It'll produce a bunch of palm wavers. It's exactly what will happen. But by the grace of God and this mercy that Paul speaks of, Paul never gives himself any credit. There's no one like the Apostle Paul in the Word of God that preaches and speaks of grace. And not only grace to all, but most importantly, the grace that he received to him. It was his and he owned it. And that's why Paul says, partakers of my grace. So you got to get so possessive of grace, it's yours. It's your grace. It's your love. It's your first love. Is grace your first love? Or is your work and your effort and your knowledge your first love? If you really love him, Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. That's what you love. You just love it, don't you? Cherubim stare at one thing, only the mercy seat. And I'll tell you what, when we see one another and we begin to fall in love with Christ in one another, it's because of the mercy that we see. See, we're just looking right into the mercy seat. Aren't the cherubim just an extension of that precious mercy? Aren't they the gold coming right out of the ends of that thing? Coming out, touching them wings right over that mercy seat. If I have one of you come up here, but don't do that right now. Cause a fit on the internet. But you'd form a nice little crown. Nice little crown. Right over the mercy. You want to be the crowning of mercy? I believe you do, or you wouldn't be here tonight. Isn't that something? Everybody's got somewhere better to go. Ha ha. All right. So this sets the tone now. The foundation for the entire letter. What is Paul saying here? It's my doctrine. He gave it to me. And unwavering in faith in it. Do you feel that way about the Word of God? Do you feel that way about the Word of God? Is this your doctrine? No, really, is this your doctrine? Huh? Come on now. You're going to learn a few things tonight, maybe. But it's your doctrine. And are you unwavering in faith in it? Praise the Lord. I pray. Well, we're going to have some evidence here in a minute. Paul wants Timothy to be as successful as him. He does. He wants him to go on with nothing but the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he's telling him, son, stay with the stuff. Don't turn one bit from it. The compass cannot be 1 degree off. It must be exact. And you must stand in defense of it and nothing else. Do you think this is about first love? Doesn't this sound like truly a wedding and a marriage? Oh, yes, it does, doesn't it? See, when you have your spouse in your home, let me tell you something, you'll stand in defense of it. You will. You don't want anybody coming in there and ransacking your home. You don't. You don't want anybody coming in and ransacking you from the doctrine of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not if it's your first love. It won't happen. So, go on here to verse 11. Kind of jump a little bit on here, getting into the next in Christ. Paul says, according to the glorious gospel, oh my, the glorious gospel, of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. I'll tell you, this Paul guy, he just kind of owns it, doesn't he? He's just really stepping out there boldly. I don't know if you could place yourself in that time and that day, and here comes this guy that had nothing ever to do with Christians except going out and trying to kill them. And here, he's stepping out in faith and telling the Christian community, let me tell you something. God's given me the message of the eternal best. Now see, no one would have believed him, would he? Who had to convince their heart? Paul couldn't convince them. Paul's testimony could only be that of death of Christians, huh? But what had to happen? The Spirit had to quicken them hearts, didn't he? And you know, there were ones that, by the grace of God, they went fully after that. They knew that that gospel that was given to him was not given of man. It was of the Lord. It was of Jesus. And as they knew the Scriptures and truly searched the Scriptures, as we read earlier in Romans, where was that revelation of the bridal truth? It was in the things that was written by the prophets, wasn't it? It was always there. But that's what a mystery and a hidden mystery is. It's in there, but it's hidden. Praise God. And so here came this one that the Lord said, oh, this is just such. It wasn't that Paul caught him by surprise. He saw Saul. You know, his name was Saul before he called him Paul. He saw him in ages past. He knew that one would have a heart for him. Isn't that something? Aren't you glad it's not how you started? Huh? I mean, he started the worst of the worst. And yet he finished as the one that left us with that wondrous hope. I finished. I've won. I've got a crown. But you know what Sammy said? Aaron. He said, not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Oh, he loves us, doesn't he? See, he knows how to turn it on in us. But in this verse 11 here, he says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now listen to this. This doctrine now, what does he call it? He calls it the glorious gospel. Oh my, we have a new name, which was committed to Paul's trust. Well, let's talk about this glorious gospel. Let's hear what it means and how it's translated. It's the splendor and brightness gospel. It's the Shekinah glory gospel. It's the magnificence gospel. It's the majesty gospel. It's the most glorious, exalted state gospel. I love that one. Did you hear that? This is how it interprets. The most glorious, exalted state gospel. I want that gospel. And matter of fact, the Word of God says there is no other gospel. See, that's what he gave to his people. Did you know that? There wasn't any other gospel. This was the gospel. I want you to have my best. I don't want you to settle. I don't want you to settle in there and just be a babe in Christ. I want you to feed on the strong meat of the Word of God. I don't want you to just have these go through motions. As sister prayed, not just to come in here and to just go through motions as Christians, but by the grace of God to enter in. Lord, make it quickened and alive in me. By the grace of God, let me redeem the time to the fullest extent. This is what this gospel is. This is what was committed unto Paul and to his trust. That means divinely appointed to me and entrusted. And by the way, here's what's so sweet about the double portion. The word in verse 11, committed and trust, is the same word in the Greek. Two times. It's a double portion. It was divinely appointed unto me. It was divinely appointed unto me. It was divinely appointed unto me. That's your life. This is why we're here. It's the same crown. Amen. It's the same calling. It's the same choosing. Praise the Lord. And this is what he's drawing us with. It's this same wondrous gospel. And look at verse 12. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And what does he do? I just love how Paul, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He enabled you. Isn't that beautiful? He enabled you, just like he enabled Paul. Paul was the most probably studied man. He could speak all of these different languages. He knew the law like no one else. He kept the law like no one else. But he was the chief of sinner like no one else, because he was that stinking legal in that self-righteousness. But beyond everything, God wanted to magnify his grace, and he did it in the Apostle Paul. And it was so beautiful as Paul received that. This is what grace that hit him. A man that was so proud. Just think of the stench of the pride of Saul all those years. No one stunk of pride like him. No one did. He boasted on himself. He walked around so pious. He didn't look down upon you. He wouldn't even look at you. He was striking his chest, looking at him, looking at him, looking at him all that time. And here is the word of God came to him in that marvelous grace. I didn't have a thing to do with this. He enabled me. I didn't have a thing to do with this. You enabled me. Amen? I think we're getting it. See, that's grace upon grace. That means, and that enabled, I love this. Listen to this. It means to be strong. It means to be bold. It even means to be headstrong. Now, I know each and every one of you are headstrong. I know you that well. But let's be headstrong about the right thing. This is what you be headstrong about. This is it. Heart strong, head strong. Helmet of salvation, fully purposed. Like I say, either people, just like with Jesus, they either love you or get out of here. And that's the best way to do it. And I thank the Lord. Don't entertain that stuff. And for me to be counted faithful, to lead, how wonderful, and that's for us. It's God's doing, his work of mercy and grace, that we receive the same calling and the same place, putting us with the same crown as the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. And I think about this, saints. Quit beating yourself up, thinking you're such a bad Christian. Really, how's that? He enables you. So quit thinking and feeling so sorry for yourself what a failure as a Christian you are. Huh? Or quit thinking you're so special that you got to know Paul's gospel. Because as the Word of God says, oh, I've got news for you. It's just that sweet, beautiful grace and mercy and nothing else. You having a hard time? He enables you. Huh? Come on. Kind of hit a little wall. Sometimes a big wall, you think. He enables you. You come into a place where you just don't even feel anything. He enables you. Praise the Lord. Come on. Come on. Oh, that's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. It's Him. And so sweet. It makes our only boasting, praise God, for each one of us in Christ. See, we come in here and we praise and thank and cheer the same one, our precious Jesus. Paul's gospel is the wedding ring. It's the wedding ring. Conjoining us with the glorious gospel. Yes, it does. And the Lord will enable His ministers to pour out this wondrous truth of this glorious mystery. I was thinking, during that time of Paul's gospel, do you remember? How many church apostles were there? Eight. Only eight. Huh? Think of that. Eight. All of that word went out, all that time. Such power, all those people. But yet only eight. And that was in the early reign, wasn't it? That's when the reign began. Meaning all that wonderful blessing and increase that came. And here we are, brothers and sisters, we know it. We're at the end of the latter reign. It's raining and it's pouring. And in one moment, it's just going to go, and it's done. That time shall be no more. But I'll tell you, it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. You would hope and want that people would preach the whole counsel of God and want to continue to preach this wonderful Paul's gospel. But you can't find it. You can't. And it hasn't changed. Without fail, people that come into this meeting, usually when they hear this, God touches their life to hear it, almost without fail. Brother, this is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. Everybody's got to hear this. It should be on the radio and the TV, and I just sit there and I smile. And you know what I do? I say, you know what? You're absolutely right. Because this is the most valuable thing there's ever been. But it's never changed. People don't want it. They don't. And most of those that have said that, most of them has just passed on through. It was there for just a moment. It hit them hard for a moment. And then it went away. God forbid, and that be any of us. Huh? Praise the Lord. But you see, brothers and sisters, stay in it. God's word is truth. There will never be a variance of this divine truth. It's the same rarity that still exists now that existed back then. And I will say this, because I know some people have been asking, and I'm not saying anything but the truth. And I appreciate so much. I love him. I couldn't even tell you, and I know you all do too, our precious brother Henry. Love that precious brother. Some people have asked me. He's not preaching on the internet anymore with the church down there. Can't even find his messages anymore. They've taken them all out. All the things about the bridal truth that were in that meeting, they're gone. In a moment of time. That man gave them years. By the grace of God, that man supported it. And they've replaced it with another doctrine now. A doctrine of the same kingdom age that every other 10,000s of preachers preach. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. If you don't think, but for the grace of God, that could happen to any of us, you don't know the word. Be quickened in it. Don't ever take this for granted. I mean it. Give, by the grace of God, give your life for it. Give your life for it. You'll always be so glad. And someday, oh my, it'll double portion glad, praise the Lord. But let's leave that behind now and we go on, amen? Verse 13, chapter 1 of Timothy. Let's get back there. Paul said, I was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. But he got something, didn't he? He obtained mercy. Isn't that something? He just obtained it. Did Paul ask for mercy? Mm-mm. He didn't, did he? You don't have time to cry out for it. Thank you. Thank you. Doing a little project in our house. It was so sweet the other day, and this young man come in there, and they're getting all these things and stopping all the lines they thought of water because they needed to do some things. So all these look like little tentacles popped up all over the floor upstairs, right above our kitchen. And so I'm out there talking to him about something else in the back porch, looking around, and I would have never been out there, but I had to tell him about something I wanted him to see. And I look up, I start to see this little waterfall coming down, not on the end of the roof, but right through the roof. And I said, you know, I think there's water up on there. So here we ran right upstairs, and we never would have seen that. And I mean, that water was gushing, gushing, gushing. It would have flooded my whole upstairs, but it had just started. And, you know, they're scrambling, putting it in a bucket and all these things just to shut it off and everything. So thank the Lord, no damage. And I looked at him, and I said, yeah, we were out there because I figured I wanted to show you something. And he said, yeah. I said, that's called a Jesus thing. And he looked up and he said, thank you. And I said, isn't that something about Jesus? I said, he didn't ask you to do something good. What happened in your heart right there was exactly all he wants, is just to say thank you. For mercy. For mercy. Because I'd have killed him if it would have hurt my house. Okay. All right. So, he says here, because he obtained mercy. So as we kind of close this up tonight, what was the result of all that mercy? Our God, who is rich in mercy, in his great love wherewith he loved us. Our God, who is rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. Isn't that beautiful? And who does he bestow the riches of his glory upon? His vessels of mercy. Aren't we wonderfully thankful that we're making God rich? We're taking that mercy. The inheritance of God, praise the Lord, is growing. And as only God can do, how does it increase? At an increasing rate. At an increasing rate. This outward man may perish. Having a hard time seeing anymore. Huh? But this inward man, ooh, what he's seeing, his sight, ha! Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Quick and powerful is that wondrous word, Christ in us, the hope of glory. But what is the result of all that mercy? Well, go ahead and read verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Do you remember that word that's only found one time in the Word of God? That word exceeding abundant. Do you remember from a few weeks ago? Hyperplanonzo grace. That's the ultimate grace, brothers and sisters. There's no greater grace than that. And that was the grace that was given to him. That was the grace that was given to the Apostle Paul that was exceeding abundant with what? Faith and love, which is where? In Christ Jesus. It never moved. It's always in the same place. Born of God, where were we born into? In Christ. In Christ in ages past from beginning. Praise the Lord. Always there. But it takes this hyperplanonzo grace, the ultimate of grace, that will cause this abundance of faith and love to come into you. Nothing else. Nothing else. And that's what Paul's gospel is all about. It's about this grace that is so hyper, so above, so abundant, so exceeding, so over the top, so larger than the ever-expanding universe, above, beyond, all exceeding and super exceeding grace. This is the heart of Jesus to us. This ultimate grace gives you faith unfeigned. It gives you faith unfeigned. This is what grace we have that we come in here week after week to hear this gospel, to hear nothing else, because it's this grace. When you feast upon this grace and you have a love for this grace and this grace becomes your first love, you don't want to hear anything else. You don't want to fellowship in anything else but this grace. Amen. This grace. And this grace gives us that faith, praise the Lord, that gets past all the muck of this life. It causes us to set our affections on the things above. Praise God. That's that faith. This faith that is built in us from this abundance of grace. We're not ignorant. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We get what's going on. I understand what's going on. Most people say, what's going on? I know what's going on. The Word of God's going on. The coming of Jesus is going on. This is a time we live in. And it's going to be a pressing time. All of Romans 1 is just coming right out into such abundance. And the reason it all happened is when they knew he was God. When they knew he was God. And they know he's God. They did not give him glory. And neither were they thankful. And praise be to God. The one thing I can testify about the saints I'm gathered with here tonight, you're a bunch of thankful people. You're thankful. You know why? Because we know we didn't deserve it. Be out there with everybody else wondering, what's going on? I know. He's coming. He's coming. So that's the faith. And that grace gives us a first love passion, just like the Apostle Paul. Amen. Neither did I count my life dear. See, this is the grace that gets your thoughts off of you. Did you hear that? This is the grace that you become removed from the picture. Amen. And love comes in. Love so great. That love that, man, have you ever been so in love you didn't even know where you were? I'm serious. You didn't even know where you were. You were just looking into the eyes of your lover. It didn't matter where you were, as long as you're with your love. This is this grace. This is where it's taken us. We're out of here. We're out of here. And someday, soon, it's going to be made sight. So, As Paul told to those sweet Philippians, you're partakers of my grace. And honeys, you need it, he said. This is the grace that'll give you the heights of faith and the love in Christ to take the high calling message for your own. And it must be this grace. It must be Paul's grace to win him. Because without it, we'll never enter in to have that delirious desire to be in the out resurrection, if by any means. You must fall in love. And it's only through this ultimate grace that you fall in love. Grace so exceeding and abundant with faith and love in Christ to win him. I love a Bible study with you. I love it. There isn't anything sweeter. Praise his name. Let's stand and be dismissed.